Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Expressway, our first live show on NFLAmedia.com. That's right, it's NFLAmedia.com. I am Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we are excited to finally be live. Instead of waiting a day or 2 days to be on YouTube, we are actually live filming the show. For those who love us on YouTube, we'll still be on YouTube at 10 a.m. every Friday morning. But if you want to watch us live, catch us live, and we will start having chats if you decide to join us live. You can watch us live on Wednesdays at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. All you have to do is go to NFLAmedia.com and create an account through Google, and you will be logged in to watch our show and any of the other shows that the NFL Alumni Media has on its platform. But we are excited to start off. We got four great quarters for you. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Giants and the Jets, and we'll talk about some NFL news. And we'll also talk about Billy T's favorite subject, James Harden, who just got fined a whopping amount of money for speaking out of turn. Maybe it'll stick, but the NBA PA is sticking up for him and probably are going to fight that fine. But we can talk about that in the fourth quarter. But first, man, oh, man, did them Giants look good last week? Offense was great. I love the fact that they set the tone with Darren Waller early. Obviously, the receivers, you saw Jalin Hyatt show out. I was excited. Even Eric Gray looked really good, got comfortable. You saw the quickness and the speed that he has at that position. But let me get what was your opinion about the game when you saw it?
Well, see, I knew that before the game that he was going to make his decision whether the starters were going to play. So that was anticipation. And I don't think they really knew until a couple hours before the game. And then they went out there and showed people why they're improved in every single way. Offensive line shot off very good, did a great job of blocking. I thought that Danny Jones looked smooth. He looked like he's been doing this a long time. And the confidence level that he raised the other day was something that the Giants are going to use throughout the course of the year. I was really impressed with their offensive timing and their execution. And to be doing that well this early in preseason is something for the Giants fans to look forward to.
Yeah, I am very, very, very excited about the weapons they have on offense, especially their offensive line. I think being together and having Michael Schmitz in there and solidifying that center position, I think the only concern I have is who are they going to put at the left guard, left and right guard positions. I know that position is still up in the air. They haven't actually declared who that starter will be, but I'm excited for once that this offense could be a juggernaut. Back in a day where you had Tiki and Rondé blowing up the, you know, thunder and lightning, and you had Ahmad Bradshaw, you had Brandon Jacobs and Amani Toomer and Plexico Burris. We got some legitimate firepower on that offensive side of the ball, and they showed it this weekend, which made me very excited.
You know, I've always loved my whole life, Charles, And I went to the Raiders my fifth year in the NFL. They throw the bomb the first place to their speedy wide receivers. And I want the Giants to come out and do that. And what it does, it stretches your defense. It makes the defensive backs a little wary that they got to make sure that they give this guy room. And Jalin Hyatt, number 84, he's definitely going to be a star. I mean, because he runs a good route. He knows how to run things. He had a drop pass, but that's okay for this time of year. But a touchdown pass, he got behind the defense, and that's exactly what the Giants need. You need Darren Waller to open up the middle. You need Jalen Hyatt to kind of stretch him deep, and then you bring a little bit of Darius Slayton and Paris Campbell in there with Isaiah Hodgkins. I don't know what the Giants going to do about this receiving corps because somebody good has got to go.
And the great thing is Sterling Shepard looked great. He looked like the quick possession receiver. He looked like those New England receivers that New England always has, you know, yep. that just finds a spot and just figures out a way to make that first down. He looks like he could be that guy that every team needs, is that possession receiver that when you need a first down, that's who you go to because you know he can get open. And that's what I saw with Sterling Shepard, that quickness, that burst, that playmaking ability, that just the feel for the game to get that first down that I know Daniel Jones is going to be looking for that guy. And Paris looked great. The yeah. guy that they just picked up, he looked even good. You know, the one guy that did impress me that I was hoping to see some improvement, like I told you last week, it was just, you know, that first game jitters is Eric Gray. And he looked better this game. And I was excited to see that.
That's what the preseason is all about, really, is finding who can contribute to your team very fast. And what I was impressed with was that the mental attitude that came out with you. And if you don't make mistakes on offense, you got a chance all the time. Nobody forced the ball. Danny Jones did not force the ball, not one time. If he takes what the defense gives him and just sprays the ball around to Darius Slayton, to Darren Waller, to Jalen Hyatt, I think they got a chance to be special. And Saquon did not even play in the game. And that's something that teams are going to have to look at. Is he going to run the ball? Are they going to pass the ball? If you have that dual weapon, I think you got a good chance. And this is, like I said, I hate to be so excited only in the second preseason game, but they showed me what I wanted to see because I know that they've been practicing hard on a lot of offensive plays with Darren Waller, and they showed it in the game. So I think this has got to be an open situation and a fun situation because nobody says the Giants are going to be any good except us.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And think about it as a defensive coordinator having to game plan Darren Waller versus your linebacker. And if you don't want to put your linebacker on him on a free safety or a safety, now you're bringing that safety down from the middle of the field, and now hopefully you put Darren Waller on the same side as Jalen Hyatt. You can't double team both of them, and you let Jalen Hyatt just run straight down the field, and they're trying to take away Darren Waller. He should have a field day. If you're looking for over under, do you think Darren Waller will have over 1,000 yards? Darren Waller and Jalen Hyatt will have over 1,000 yards a season. I would bet that. Would you?
Yeah, I would too. And the thing that we're going to see very quickly is when Darren Waller, like he did in the game, he caught three in that first drive, like a Belichick team is going to try to take him away. That opens up things for everybody else. Saquon, Jalen Hyatt, Darius Slayton, Paris Campbell. It opens up for everybody. And see that you hope that he gets double teamed because that takes somebody out to play and lets everybody else go one-on-one or man-on-man. And that's what you want from a receiver standpoint, is to put yourself in the best position for your team to be successful. I thought that the whole team played extremely well. And when the offensive team scored early, I think that really kind of calmed the whole team. And offense feeds off of defense back and forth. And I'm looking to see that happen a lot more this season.
Yeah, me too. And I can't wait. My question to you is, would you let Saquon play this week? I don't think he should play, but would you let Saquon play this week?
No use in doing that. There's no use in doing that. Now, were you there with the Giants when Jason Seahorn was there?
Yep.
And remember Jason Seahorn had to put him on one kickoff? He tore his knee up. Was out for the season.
Yeah.
See, there's no use. You've already seen what you wanted to see.
That's right.
Saquon is in great shape. You know, that's what you want. You're running back to be in super shape where he can go four quarters. And I think with the running back rotation and Eric Gray in and other running, you know, there's a couple of running backs that are still up in air, James Robinson, et cetera. If you can, you know, maybe not give him as much carries because the offense is doing so well the other way, then you're going to take pounding off of him. And so I just think I would not play him at all. I think they had to play Danny because this is, he had to be a little bit nervous because, signing that big contract and having big expectations, you better go out there and do something.
But everybody has been saying that Dame Jones has been looking great this year. Yes, he has. He's looking like he's a 10-year vet. We were talking about him and he's not Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't been in the league 20 years. But everybody is saying that he has the calm, coolness about him, a command of the offense, a command of the huddle, as if he's been there like as long as Aaron Rodgers has been there. So I'm excited for that. But also the exciting thing about the offense, and then we'll turn our attention to the defense. The exciting thing that I think about the offense that I saw is that what are you going to do about the running game? You're not going to be able to put 8 and 9 guys around the box given the weapons that they have at the receiving core. So I'm excited. Saquon should be excited, should be jumping for joy. Maybe this is the year he breaks out, gets 1,500 yards, and can probably sign that $15 million contract that he wants.
Yeah. But see, the thing that makes me mad is every time I think about it, he's the baddest dude on your team. Saquon Barkley didn't play at all in the preseason, ain't going to put on a show when the regular season comes. I just think that he is ready. He's in shape. He's stronger, he said, than he's ever been in his whole life. This is almost a year and a half after he had the serious knee injury, so that's not a problem anymore. And I'm looking for DJ, Danny Jones, to get rid of the ball like he did real quick.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't even give the offensive line a second to do something, So I'm looking forward to that.
So, the one concern I have, and we're going to turn our attention to the defense, and the one thing, I think we have the defense has a great opportunity to be good, to be stout, but the one concern that I still have not seen addressed, and rightfully so, it's only been one game, is I'm just concerned about the defensive line. Kayvon Thibodeau, this is only his second year. You got Otto O'Shane Zimenez. This is his third year. You're hoping that A'shaun Robinson can solidify the other linebacker spot. So my concern is what do you do in that interior to make sure that teams just don't run the ball all over us, because that's the one concern I think if we don't address, we may be talking about that in week 17 as the reason why we didn't make the playoffs.
Well, see, I listened to Coach Wink, the defensive coordinator. He got on Thibodeau about a week ago because he wasn't going full speed. And I think that that's what has to happen. You can't allow anybody to let rest for 1 second. And the thing about it, when you start getting that habit of not running full speed, it becomes a habit. And I think that was great that he got. Second-year players should not be taking it easy when the play's on the other side. And I think Thibodeau got a shot in the arm, and hopefully this will enable him to go through the season to play as hard and reach his potential, because if he can pass rush, and get to the quarterback before 2-point-something seconds, that helps the secondary. It helps the defense. And I think the Giants' offense is going to help the defense by keeping them off the field, letting them come in well-rested. So, like I said, it's a great year to look forward to for everybody in the NFL, because a lot of people go from last to first. Giants did it a year ago, made the playoffs after didn't making it for 6 or 7 years. So the whole NFL is getting ready to shake up. And if you can predict who's going to Super Bowl right now, you can be a millionaire.
Yeah, and understand, this is their last week to get ready for the regular season. And yep. I'm saying you got to play your starters a whole half, right? Just so that they're comfortable. It's showtime, and I can't emphasize enough, your season starts today, right? Your season starts against the Jets, because you have a gauntlet of tough teams, and you know how critical it's going to be to start off fast like they started off fast last year. Because I tell you, the way the NFC East is, the way the NFC in general is, there aren't too many gimme games on that schedule, and you got to come out like gangbusters. So it gives you enough cushion to face that tough schedule that you have.
You listen to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Wade. We're on each and every week on the NFLAmedia.com and YouTube. Anyway, when we come back to the other side, we're going to concentrate on the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers gets his first start of the year. Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back with more after these messages.
And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me The Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We are live on NFLAmedia.com. That's NFLAmedia.com. And we will be on YouTube every Friday morning at 10 a.m. So come check us out whenever you get a chance. Now we're going to turn our attention to the Jets. We just finished our first quarter talking about the New York Giants and reviewing their game against the Carolina Panthers, which we both believe was an exciting game for both offense and defense. And hopefully we'll see some improvement this week against the Jets. Now, turning our attention to the Jets, the elephant in the room, whatever you want to call it, and everybody sees it, the Jets defense is amazing, right? We know that. We don't even have to talk about the Jets defense. The Jets defense should be a top five defense in the NFL, maybe top three. Do you agree?
Well, see, I think that they got backups too. Guys behind guys that can come in. And if you got backup defensive line who will not allow you to miss a beat, I mean, you're going to kick somebody's behind. And I'm anxious to see who's first up, because Buffalo is Monday Night Football against the Jets. So, you know, I even though they haven't played none of the starters on offense, I think the Jets are going to be pretty good.
Yeah, and we'll get into it. This week is probably their first action for all of the starters for the Jets and Giants, for that matter. So I'm excited to see how that pans out and kind of get an idea how the Jets defense stack up against the Giants offense, because that Giant offense is almost as similar to the Jets offense because of the weapons that they have on the Jets offense. You look at the Jets offense and the Jets defense, I mean, from a skill position perspective, Jets defense has probably some of the best skill players, from linebacker to DBs. They're set up. Their D-line, like you said, go 2 to 3 deep on their defensive line. So they should be very well suited to stop teams on defense and keep the Jets in the game. But the elephant in the room, like I said, is the offensive line. What are we going to do with that offensive line? I just found out they are going to be starting Mekhi Becton this week. Hope he has a chance to see if he deserved that starting position. But what do you do? What do you do with if you're the Jets, if you can't protect Aaron Rodgers?
Well, see, I like what Aaron Rodgers does. He's going to get rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds. He'll be 1.8, 1.9. It's the same thing that Brady did when he went to Tampa and had to make adjustments. And that's what I feel Aaron Rodgers is going to do. Aaron Rodgers has really indoctrinated the Jets as well as any quarterback can. He's talked to everybody. He's got along with everybody. He acts like he's the leader. And I like the way he does that. I really do. I mean, he's not being quiet about it. He's getting everybody up and grasping the system. So I look for him to be adjusting to things as the game goes on. Like, for instance, if this left end is getting beat, bring a tight end over to help out. Bring a running back over to help one of the tackles. And if it still needs help, get rid of the ball quicker. If he does that, it helps everybody. So I'm looking forward to the adjustments that Aaron is able to make during the course of the game himself.
Yeah, I do too. But when you look at the Jets offense and you look at the situation of running back, how do you see the running back situation playing out? Obviously, you don't want to wear out Breece Hall given that he's coming off of an ACL injury, and you have Dalvin Cook, and yeah, I mean that running back room is legit. And so how do you see them divvying up time at the running back position?
I think Daryl from Minnesota needs to be
Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook from Minnesota needs to be either one of the starting running backs or one of the first to come in. And I think their main running back that they have, who a lot of people think would have made all pro last year if he hadn't got hurt, I still think, you know, he's less than a year away. I know that people are coming back in less than a year, but I'd give him the full chance to come back 100% and not even be shaky about it. So that's why I would look Darren Cook and Michael Carter, let them carry the load in the beginning. And then as the season goes on, indoctrinate a Hall in there, because they have, like I said, it was probably one of the more talented group of running backs in the whole entire NFL. And if they use it correctly, which I think the Jets probably will, because the offensive line is, it's better for an offensive line to run the ball than to pass the ball because it takes less effort. So, you know, if Makaia can come around, which I don't think he can, to be honest with you, because if you're that big and you need to be talked into stuff, you know, then something's wrong.
What do you mean talked into stuff? He said he got into the doghouse, like we spoke about, after that Hall of Fame game, and he pulled himself out of the game. I think that put him in the doghouse with all of his coaches, and they came out a week later saying that he wouldn't be put in the starting lineup until he showed us he can play a full game. And so I guess necessitated the change, because that offensive line is terrible. And you wonder why Zach Wilson had a bad year. You wonder why Zach Wilson had mental issues. It's because he couldn't get protected. And so hopefully Makai can at least hold up at right tackle, and their left tackle, Dwayne Brown, can actually do what he's supposed to do. But I'm kind of questioning the left tackle position, because Dwayne Brown hasn't really shown anything. And especially being an older veteran, I don't know how well he can hold up an entire 17-game season either.
Well, see, I'm concerned because, you know, your tackles are your main thing. I mean, that's the main thing. Any team, one of the top money makers on a team, left tackles the blind side and gets more publicity when you do things wrong. So I'm concerned as you are. But the thing that I have in mind is that most people are looking at the passing situation with Wilson at wide receiver, one of the better wide receivers. But in order to beat somebody with what you have, you've got to run the ball. And I think that's going to be their strong point in the very beginning, until, as you say, the safety comes up and you can throw behind him. And that's going to give Rodgers room to play action. But I'm looking for him to play into the second quarter tonight. And I'm interested to see, Friday night, I'm interested to see if the Jets can look like the Giants do with a good quarterback.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see, because Zach Wilson has shown a tremendous amount of improvement. He's getting rave reviews, and I think this sets the Jets up to be a really good team for a very long time post Aaron Rodgers, because like you said before, and you've said it many times on this show, quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, should be able to sit, learn, watch, see how it's done before they get thrown into the fire, given the complexities that these defenses are coming and schemes are and coming up with. So I think it's benefited to have someone like Aaron Rodgers in the room for Zach Wilson. I think they probably solve their future quarterback position if Zach Wilson can get himself together. So Aaron Rodgers may have earned every dime that they paid for him and the draft picks that they've given if Zach Wilson can be the savior once he leaves.
Well, they say that he's really been helped because he's getting rid of the ball quicker. What I noticed before is that he could barely throw the ball to the running back on a dump pass outside of the tackle. He's doing that better, too. He's throwing screen passes better. I just think that a young quarterback, and even Mark Sanchez, when he was with the Jets years ago, he took too long with the football. And I think it's just your best asset is to be friends with that low value running back and be able to do some dump off passes to him. Because if it's your best friend and somebody's getting on the quarterback, your dump off is to the tight end or running back. And that's when the running backs people are going to talk about, well, maybe they deserve a little more money because they're dual existing, you know, being able to catch the ball, run the ball, block, all that kind of stuff. Nobody else has to do that.
But were you concerned? And like I said, I know it's preseason. We may be making too much out of nothing. But were you concerned that they couldn't score as much as they did the previous week?
You mean the Jets? Yeah, I was concerned because you know, you look at Carolina. They played the Jets and the Giants back to back. And the thing about it, Carolina lost 27-0 to the Jets, and the Giants barely beat Carolina. So I don't know how to tell that tale, but I think that defenses are always ahead of offenses at this time of the year. And if you think about it, what the Giants did, and we'll see what the Jets are going to do later in the week, is really show you that they're ready. And the thing about what you want your team to be ready is for the very beginning of that, because if you can get some momentum by beating the Cowboys from the very beginning and the Jets beat Buffalo, I mean, that the confidence level goes extremely high. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, we got two good teams in New York. It's going to be fun to watch them each and every week. We're going to have loads of stuff to talk about because, you know, the NFL is back.
It is, and it's exciting to be back. We're going to actually talk about the AFC and NFC East here coming up in the third quarter. You're listening to The Expressway on NFLAmedia.com, live on NFLAmedia.com. We will be right back to talk about NFC, AFC East and give you our predictions for those two conferences. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Expressway here on NFLAmedia.com, live on NFLAmedia.com. I'm your host, Charles Show Me The Way, here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we have just finished two amazing quarters talking about the Giants and the Jets. Now we're focused our attentions on both of their conferences, the NFC East and the AFC East. Both conferences are tough, and we will give you our predictions on who we think will be the cream of the crop of each conference. Now we're going to turn our attention first to the NFC East. Obviously, the Eagles is the cream of the crop of that division. I think arguably for most prognosticators, everybody's saying Dallas is right behind them. Dallas is always number two behind the Eagles. But the uniqueness about the NFC East, I must preface it before we get into our predictions.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Is that for the past 12 seasons or 12 to 16 seasons, not one team has repeated as conference champions, division winners. And so will that carry on? Will that continue? Will the Eagles be the first team? Because they were the last team to repeat. Will they be the first team to repeat since they did it 12 years ago? So my question to you is, after the Eagles, because we both agree the Eagles are the cream of the crop, after the Eagles, how do you see the conference shaking out?
Well, what I'm worried about, and you talked about no team has repeated in a number of years. That is true, too. But then again, when a team makes it to the Super Bowl and loses, they usually don't make it back the next year. And I remember when you guys lost in 2000, you definitely didn't come back in 2001 and get back to the Super Bowl.
We didn't come back till 2007.
And so I just want to see. And Eagles, if you think about it, they lost offensive and defensive coordinators. And I'm just trying to see, can they fulfill what they did last year despite two great teachers that they had? They've been incognito this offseason and during the preseason because you haven't heard anything because, you know, Jalen Hurts has not played at all, which I can understand that. because he went to camp in outstanding shape last year. So I would definitely go with the Eagles number two. My problem is the Giants and the Cowboys, because the Giants possibly can beat the Cowboys this year if they start out ready and can keep their defense off the field. So I like them to rotate Giants and the Eagles. And I saw the Commanders the other day, the Washington Commanders. They had a young quarterback who looked really good. And they have a defensive line as it is. So somebody's going to creep up on somebody and knock them off if they're not ready, because NFC East has gone up in power. They used to be the worst conference. Now I think arguably they're one of the best.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. When you look at the Washington Commanders, they scare me. I mean, yep. Sam Howell, he came in last year out of nowhere and managed the team well. And without having a great defense, their defense was already good. But their defense will become better exponentially because of that front four. You got Jamar Chase coming back. You got the other guy on the other side. I'm talking about the D-line in general, when he was healthy, was a beast. They were tough. That's a defensive line that I would compare to what the Jets have right now on their side of on the other conference. So from a defensive standpoint, you got to be leery of the Commanders, because they did a good job last year from an offensive standpoint, especially how Sam Howell managed that team, ran that team, and did well running that team. Unlike a Zach Wilson, Sam Howell showed the composure and poise that you look for in a quarterback when running a team. So what scares me is that everybody's picking Washington number four, but that could be a surprise team that slips up and surprise. Don't forget, they beat Philly last year, didn't they?
Yes, and they tied the Giants.
Yeah. And so Commanders, given where they were last year, was a tough out. And so this year, healthier, everybody's back. You got to be careful. And it's hard to predict 2-4 because you don't know how the Cowboys is going to shake out. The Cowboys could potentially be number four in the conference.
Well, they talked about possibly getting Jonathan Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts. And he's in a situation Saquon Barkley was in. He's mad because they don't offer him no money. But he's 4 years younger than Barkley. And I just don't understand why you wouldn't take care of somebody like that. The owner, Irsay, said some terrible stuff about him. But, you know, he wants to be traded. And usually when someone's trying to be traded and they're a franchise player, you have to give up too much. So I don't think anybody's going to try to trade for him. Then it makes the player look bad because, you know, he's asking to be traded. But, you know, he doesn't like Irsay. He doesn't like the Colts. You know, there's nothing he can do about it. That's the bad thing about these situations with the running back, is that you cannot do anything about it. But I still think that the Giants and the Cowboys are going to maybe switch places. That opening game is going to mean a lot. The Giants used to have the Commanders' number. I think at one time, Danny Jones had won 4 or 5 games in a row, but then they tied them. So I think this conference, the inter-conference games are going to be tough, but the conference games, everybody's in it, you know, from every single angle. And you're going to have to start out very good because you don't want to have to come from way behind it to make it.
Yeah, and the one thing that I don't see any drop-off from the Eagles is they have weapons at the skill position on offense, and their defense. I mean, they got 3 D-lines that can run out there and start for for any team in the NFL. I mean, they got those 2 kids from Georgia on their defensive line that are huge. Their DBs are legit, even though people may not like Bradberry because of how he did perform with the Giants. I mean, he's done a great job for them. He may have cost them the Super Bowl because of the holding call at the Super Bowl. But, I mean, their DBs are legit. But think about this. You got they're running backs. They're running back room. I remember I told you, if I'm a pro personnel scout, I'm waiting for cut day because I'm looking at, if I need a running back, I'm looking for who the Eagles are going to cut because they can't keep them all, because they got legit pro talent running backs that will get cut in that running back room. And then the wide receivers, you got Brown on one side, you got the other kid, the kid from Alabama on the other side. I mean, and Goddard Scott, one of the best tight ends in the NFL last year. I mean, and their offensive line is still legit. Their offensive line has been intact for an entire. So when you talk about offensively, defensively, and special teams, that's probably one of your most all around talented teams in the NFL.
Well, I'm looking forward to them to see what they do because of Jalen Hurts, and I think that he is so consistent and such a leader. And what I like about him is that he's as cool as the other side of the pillow. I mean, he doesn't get rattled. He really helps his teammates to calm down. I like when he signed that new contract. He came out in a new nice suit and looked like he was a CEO businessman. And that's what you're supposed to do when you come out and you make that kind of money, because you know you got to do something with it, because you cannot get by with try to beat Uncle Sam. You got to figure out some way to help people, donate something. And I think he's that kind of guy that's you're gonna hear a lot from him in years to come, because when you make that kind of money, you're making a difference in neighborhoods. And I look for Jalen Hurts to be right up there with any of the great ball players who have helped their neighborhood.
Yeah, and when you're talking about Jalen Hurts and how he's improved from his rookie season to now and arguably a candidate for MVP of the NFL, we turn our attention to the AFC East. And you look at the quarterbacks in the AFC East, I don't know if you can compare. Look at Josh Allen. I don't know if he's going to have a good year this year with Buffalo. Tua Tagovailoa, he has coming off a concussion. He's done everything we talked about last year. He did jiu-jitsu to learn how to fall. He's done a lot of different things. And in preseason, he's looked good in the preseason. And so, we all know about the Jets. The Jets are arguably picked to be the leader of this conference. The Jets, go figure, the Jets. And when was the last time we talked about New England potentially being the last place team in AFC East?
And that's that's kind of like a tribute to Belichick's character, because people have said that he cannot win without Brady, and he hasn't won without Brady. And he seems like he doesn't care about the offense as much as he does the defense. I've never liked those kind of coordinators, because Ryan of the Jets was like that. He cared about the defense, didn't really care about the offense with Mark Sanchez. And I think to be a good head coach, you got to put emphasis on both sides. He went and got Bill O'Brien, who was head coach of the Houston Texans, and brought him in to kind of train Mac Jones. And we're going to see how that kind of pans out. But last year he had Joe Judge, the former coach of the Giants, who I thought was not a very good coach. And he had another defensive coordinator, Matt, coached the Detroit Lions at one time. Mm-hmm. Both of them are not very good coaches. I mean, there has not been a good coaching tree for Bill Belichick. I mean, at least Parcells has some people out there like Belichick and a bunch of people, University of Alabama coach and stuff. But Belichick has nobody out there that can, say, well, listen, he's come from that kind of stock. So maybe Belichick should take the heat this year for the team not doing as well. If they don't make the playoffs this year, owner's got to say something.
Well, if you look at it, when you look at that division, I think
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
The surprise team that will underperform would probably be the Buffalo Bills, because there was a lot of preseason turmoil between the players. The receiver was having an issue with the team and didn't like it. And Josh Allen said something that got him upset and whatever. And they said it was squash, and then they lost their defensive coordinator. He left. And so when you got that much turnover, when you're supposed to be the cream of the crop of the AFC East, I think those that they may not meet or live up to those expectations. And I think you'll see Buffalo may slip to 2-3. And if they're not careful, they could end up in last place of the division.
Well, if that guy Vaughn, that defensive end from Broncos, goes to them, he got hurt last year at the end. I think that was the kind of demise of the Buffalo Bills. If he can come back strong and put heat on a quarterback, I think it's going to make a big, big difference. You're listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're on each and every week talking Jets, Giants, and the world of sports. We come back on the other side. We're going to talk about the Jets-Giants game this weekend, which really should go a long way in determining who can be the king of the hill in New York. Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back with more after these messages.
And we're back. I'm Charles, show me the way here with the BTR Show. Bill Taylor, you're listening to The Expressway on NFLAmedia.com. Coming to you live for the first time on NFLAmedia.com. If you are not a subscriber, how to become a subscriber, just create a Google account and you can watch us live. And any other are our alumni mates that are from different teams live on NFLAmedia.com. Well, we always talk about basketball in the fourth quarter. We finished the first three quarters. We got all that football mess out of the way. Now we get to our stress relief, and that's basketball. Well, the major stress when the Sixers' lives, James Harden is going to become a bigger stress in their lives if they don't fix that problem, because he just got fined. But remember, we talked about calling Daryl Morey a liar because he didn't give him the money that he wanted. He wanted a max contract, and he didn't get it. And so what do you think about him being fined? And do you think this is going to be a new stance by the NBA to kind of curtail a lot of the chatter that's been going on with these agents, these players' agents, about them wanting to leave and change teams?
Well, Charles, they better do something, because you can't go around calling owners liars. And even if they are, you got to keep your mouth shut. And listen, I don't understand how in the heck he's going to do that. And he, as bad as he played in the fourth quarters of games and down the clutch, I just don't understand how he can get mad at anybody, because he forced a trade in Brooklyn, he forced a trade in Houston, and he still didn't come through in the clutch. I mean, he had his greatest situation, him and Joe Embiid. Look at that situation. He led the league in assists, but didn't come through in the clutch. And I don't understand, Charles, why people don't look at themselves. Look yourself in the eye. If it's not you, then don't worry about it. But I'm looking at James Harden in the eye, and he just is not there. And sometimes he comes in out of shape. And I just think that you know, he only got fined $100,000 when he's making $30-something million. That's like a tip jacket for him down in Atlantic City or Las Vegas. So I'm disappointed in James Harden.
Yeah, I would be too. And you're right. They should look at themselves in the mirror, because if you are owner or general manager of any team, especially after game seven of a round two, not in a conference championship, not the NBA finals, round two of the playoffs, and you don't perform in a game seven, you made three shots in an entire game seven, an elimination game, and you're going to knock on my door the next day and say, hold out your hand and say, I want $55 million a year for the next 4 years, when you can barely run up and down the court at what, 36, 35? Oh, yep. He's something. How old is he? I don't even know how old he is. But you can barely run up a court now, and you want me to pay you $200 million for the next 4 years? Are you out of your mind?
I don't think anybody's going to pay him, because everybody looks at the playoffs. And look at every time he's been in there, he has not come through in the clutch. And he's got one of the best big men to be around, to gain assists from, to pick and roll, everything like that. And he's not showing up. I mean, he had a good game of 40 one time, but see, what matters is when you do it deep into the playoffs. And I have no confidence in him at all. Like I tell you, my sisters, they got season tickets to the Rockets down there, but I don't think the Rockets want him. They got a young team down there, and I'm anxious to see where he lands, because he's either going to have to keep his mouth shut and shut up and talk to Morey, the owner of the Philadelphia 76ers, or he's just going to have to go to somewhere else where not many people want him. He wants to go to the L.A. Clippers also, But I don't think that they can put up with him. So, you know, they got everybody else hurt, you know, Kawhi Leonard. And so I just don't know about James Harden. And it wouldn't surprise me if he went to some low team and then led the league in scoring when they were 36 games out. So
I agree with you. The other NBA hot topic is Joel Embiid is going to be the first player to ask to be traded.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
On this year. And do you agree with that? I personally, because I know a little bit of the backstory, don't agree with it. But do you agree with him asking for a trade after this year because of the Harden situation?
I don't think so, because, you know, he needs players that want to play with him, that want to give effort, that want to go down as being a great player. And I think that Garden, I can't think of his name, who played behind
Tyrese Maxey.
Tyrese Maxey. I think he's a max player in my mind. And I think, you know, shoot the rock good, he can really help the 76ers. My problem is that Joel Embiid, I don't know if he knows what he wants. He wanted to be a high-paid player. He's good. He wanted to be the MVP. He's done that. And you just got to get players around you. And then in the fourth quarter, you've got to step up as a big man. You got to demand the ball. And so he's blaming other people. Again, he's one of those people who won't take the blame himself. And sometimes he does. But a lot of the times he doesn't. And that playoff game that they lost to Boston Celtics, he complained because he didn't get the ball. And you're the biggest man on the court. You got the biggest mouth on the court. How in the heck are you going to sit there and say, I don't get the ball enough? So I think he's got to look internal at himself also, because, you know, how many times you want to, when things go bad, is that what you do? As football players, we're taught to get tougher when things go bad. Basketball players are taught, well, take it easy and get off.
I really do think next year is a year where if they don't do anything next year, because of the new salary cap goes into place, a lot of teams, the majority of the teams, are going to be hamstrung about signing one of probably the premier free agent classes to come out in a very long time, where you got Pascal Siakam, Kevin Durant, you got all of these guys, you got the two guys, Kawhi Leonard and their other guy from the Clippers, he's a free agent. I mean, this free agency class is probably one of the best free agency classes in a long time. And so if Philly is supposed to have probably out of all the teams in the NBA, the most cap space next year than any other team. So if you're a player that looking for max money and is a superstar and you got a chance to play next to Joel Embiid, what do you think about this? Let me give you this. You got Tyrese Maxey, Pascal Siakam, and Joel Embiid. Let's put Mo Bamba. Let's sign Mo Bamba, right? How would you like that front court? You got all three of those dudes.
I love it already, and that's why I think something's wrong with Joel Embiid, because he's got to know the cap situation too. Just like you said, we got room to get some other people. You know, maybe ignorance is bliss, because he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. And I think maybe James Harden maybe had that negative of an influence on him. I hate they got rid of Doc Rivers, because I thought Doc Rivers was a heck of a coach. And if James Harden even comes through a little bit, they go to the next round. So I think he was a coach killer, which means he got Doc Rivers fired. And then he, you know, made Joel Embiid, you know, sound like a little bit of a crybaby, which he is. But I just think that he should stay there and suck it up. If you can win a title in Philly, I think that, you know, this is going to be one of the greatest places in the NBA, because I just think that what they do for the basketball world is almost as good as what the Knicks do for Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I got a feeling that we're going to have a Doug Collins, Phil Jackson type of moment in Philly now that Doc Rivers is gone, right? Because Doc Rivers is like Doug Collins. He went with, had Michael Jordan and couldn't win with Michael Jordan. And then Phil Jackson comes in, all of a sudden they win six titles, right? And so you got the same thing with the coach from the Toronto Raptors. He leaves Toronto, quirky style like Phil Jackson, does a lot of quirky things. He'll come in, get Joel right, loves making crazy lineups, putting lineups together, and hopefully win three, four championships in a row. And he'll become the next. And it's just sad because Doc Rivers is a great coach and just doesn't have the opportunity. But Philly is set up to win for the foreseeable future, possibly.
Well, he's got a big man that can shoot the ball outside. You have a chance in every single game that you play. Just depends on the, you know, like I want Joel B to stop falling down so much to figure out maybe he should go with Tua and find out that martial arts class and learn how to fall. But I just think that he's maturing. He's gotten better every single year, but he's got to step up even more and take the leadership role, which means that you're taking every criticism by everybody and being able to utilize it in a positive way. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Sixers go because they lost Simmons. They're going to lose James Harden. And then Joel Embiid wants to leave. Something's got to come up. But I think that coach, that former coach coming in from Toronto, I think he's going to help out the Sixers tremendously and get them back on where they should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see. And don't forget, we'll talk about the Knicks. We'll talk about your New York Knicks and see where they will. Before we get on the Jets and Giants, have you been watching USA Basketball a little bit, FIFA? Yeah. What do you think? I kind of like the no-name guys playing, right? Because they're good no-name guys. You got really good no-name guys. Anthony Edwards is trying to be Michael Jordan, right?
Yes, he is.
You got Brunson. You got what's the other kid's name? I can't think of the name from Sacramento. Is doing Fox. His thing down there. But they don't have a juggernaut of a team. And I'm afraid that if they that's a team put together to win, but they can also get beat.
Absolutely. And the International League has really blossomed. I mean, you got some players that can play in the NBA and play in any league now. And I think that Popovich talked about that a few weeks ago when he made the Hall of Fame. He's one of the first few players or coaches to go overseas and recruit players. And I think that's how the Spurs won the championship. And I think a lot of coaches got to start looking over there because to have a big man that can shoot outside, take it to the hole, block shots, just like the guy in Denver. I just think there's more of them out there. And they just love the game. They have a passion for it. And I just think that the NBA players got to be careful because a lot of the guys don't have much passion as the guys from Europe.
Yeah, I agree. I can't wait until they change the All-Star game to make it the NBA versus the world.
Yep,
that's now you're talking about a game that may probably for the first time be competitive. That would be a game that could be potentially competitive. You got Joel Embiid going against who would be your center for the U.S.? You would have to go with the kid Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, that's it. And he's only 6'10".
Right. And so he's going against Jokic and Joel Embiid.
Yep.
And then you got Giannis.
Yep.
You got the guy from Dallas.
Yep.
So who you stopping? Who are you stopping? Anthony Davis? You going to roll Anthony Davis out there?
Well, arguably the foreign players are better than some of the American players.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think the All-Star game and the American players will be trying to prove that they are better. But I just don't think they are because these are players who come overseas that they're more programmed and more ready than any players I've ever seen. So I think it would be quite a game.
Yeah. I can't wait till they change that. Now, if you want to get the most watched All-Star game ever in NBA history, after post Larry Bird Jordan era, that should be probably one of the most watched All-Star games because of that, just that competition there. But now we're going to turn our attention to the Jets and the Giants really quick. We have a few more minutes left before we end our program today. I'm excited to see what the Giants and Jets look like against each other. You got this is a great test for the Giants defense to go against that offense, especially since Aaron Rodgers is leading the way. Let's see if they can stop the run. Let's see if they can hold up against that skilled wide receiving core and hold their own. And as for the Giants offense, going against one of the best defenses that we, as we stated many a times on this show, going against one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Aaron Rodgers, see if he can make the team more productive. They had opportunities with Zach Wilson, but we'll see the master at his plan. The Giants offense, they get a chance to build on what they had last before against a great Jet defense. So a lot of things are going to be said in this particular game, and it's going to be fun for the New York fans to realize different things on that. You've been listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor, Charles Way. We're on each and every single week. I got to thank Ben back in the studio. Ben takes outstanding care of Charles and I, and got to give him all the credit. So for Charles Way, ladies and gentlemen, I am Billy Taylor. Have a nice day, and thanks for joining us.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.